everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast from the Pool Car in Coventry. I can't get away from this place at the moment. I'm Michael Bailey. I'm with Chief EDP Norwich City writer Paddy Davitt in your neck of the woods, Pad.
And James Madison's neck of the woods.
Well, it's almost as if it's an accident. Yeah. James Madison, of course, who scored the third goal on his league debut for Norwich City to round off a 3-1 win at Preston, a rare away win, as we were talking about on our post-match video, which you can watch on the Facebook page and YouTube channels. You know where they are. Your first away win since October, Pad. I mean, it feels like we should go over old ground, but even just for the 546 Norwich City fans that made that trip in complete blind faith on Easter Monday to Deepdale, they just have not seen many of those wins. It must have been a lovely trip back for them.
Yeah, and the sun was shining as well, not just metaphorically. There was a nice pleasant afternoon in the sunshine to be had by those. Yeah, as you say, they deserve it. They really do, because I think, to repeat myself, what I said on the video is true, that if you minded to go to Preston on an Easter Monday to watch Norwich away from home, then you've probably been and seen the majority of the other away games. So there'll have been a lot of long journeys, and that was, I'm sure, a far more pleasant episode. And that was because we've already touched on Madison, Josh Murphy as well. I think there was some actual genuine grounds for optimism as well, which have been few and far between of late. So all in all, yeah, an uplifting episode, but you know, the fact that kind of that's where you're getting your joy from now, rather than being in the white heat of a promotion battle, sort of underlines how far short they've fallen this season.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We had to fall quite away for that to become a high point. Let's keep on James Madison for a bit, because a lot of people will sit there and think, well, clearly this is why James Madison should have been playing a lot sooner. I mean, it is remarkable that they spent a lot of money for a kid, what, 18 when he signed, wasn't he? Or 19. And they just did not use him. Obviously, sent him out on loan. Madison makes the decision himself to stay around the second half of the season to try and get some game time, which didn't really happen under Alec Neil at all. And Alan Irvine's been a little bit more open to it, even when, you know, things were, you know, there was still a glint that they possibly might make the top six, even though it never looked particularly likely. And I mean, it just felt that Irving got the timing right, the situation right to bring him in. I'm not saying that there weren't other times that were right, but on Monday, that was the right time. The game was open, Preston were chasing, Norwich were ahead, which hasn't happened a lot. Yeah. And he probably got, paid back in a bucket load for that. And now you'd like to think we'll get to see more of James.
Well, certainly, yeah. I mean, you can't ask much more from the lad to give him, which he only had about 15 minutes, and he's actually made a goal-scoring impact there. Yeah, you're right, in terms of the environment, and Alan Irvine's been at pains to stress that recently when I've asked him about, is it now time to blood a Madison or a Godfrey, that there's a lot of things that have to fall right for that to be the scenario which we got yesterday, which is obviously at Norwich in a reasonably comfortable position, even though they'd it got a little bit harum-scarum when Preston got a goal back. But I thought after about 5 or 10 minutes after that, where they'd let their goal had led a charmed life, I thought they were back in control. So Norwich are winning the game. They've kind of regained a modicum of control. And crucially, Alan Irvine's world, is that you throw a young player in, there's plenty of experience around him. And you saw that yesterday. You had Jerome, you had Nate Smith, Johnny House, and those Graham Dorans have all been around. Lads in the back line, John Ruddy. It was a perfect scenario almost to give him a try, and that was just the icing on the cake that he was actually able to get a goal. And what that will do for his confidence now, we can all imagine. So the manner of his celebration, I think there was a lot of frustration there I sensed, because as much as I'm sure he's quite mature for his age, and I thought it was a good sign that he wasn't willing to go back out on loan. He actually probably feels in his own mind he was good enough now to be in this Norwich 11, or at least in the mix for it. That to me is a very positive window into the guy's mindset. But ultimately, it would have been very frustrating. And Alex Pritchard's gone through this process as well, and probably even Josh Murphy. That, you know, these are young men who it's almost their career trajectory has just been soaring, and now they've plateaued for 6 months, a year, maybe even longer. And that must be frustrating when you're a young player, because I'm sure all you want to do is play games of football, and that's where good management comes in. And fair play to Alan Irvine. You know, he's got Pritchard in the team. Every game that he's took charge of, Alex Pritchard has started, I believe. Yeah. And now he is giving Josh Murphy a little bit more game time, and James Madison's got a look in on Monday. So that is a positive. But as I say, you know, it's a difficult one with young players, because you can understand why Alan Irvine would be reticent to throw five or six in now, because I'm not sure that does their development any good, if particularly you look what's coming around the corner this Friday, a Brighton team who basically will arrive here already promoted, looking to win the title. Another probably certainly, given their where they are in the league, a very well organised, mature, streetwise outfit. You've got to be careful how many young players you expose to that. But, you know, he didn't look out of place for me on Monday in his brief cameo. So, you know, why wouldn't you give him another go?
And the thing that came up on the live coverage, pinken.com/live, was, oh, well, he might not be, he might not have the build. He's too slight for the Championship, which, I mean, come off it. We've seen lots of players who are very good and very slight, yeah, excel in the Championship. It would be an interesting, we talk a lot about the rebuild that's on its way in the summer. To go into another season with Houlihan, Pritchard and Maddison, is that even possible? Because you're just going to end up with the same... Yeah. There has been some suggestions, Norwich's squad's too big, the managers have got too many options, which all sound a bit nonsensical points, but can you go into another season with those three?
Yeah, it's a fair point. And ultimately what you're talking about is flawed recruitment, and that's not a topic we need to get into again, because it's done to death, but it is flawed. That why were they top heavy in certain areas of the squad, i.e. the creative number 10 role? You could even throw Stephen Naismith into that equation.
Yeah.
You know, why over successive windows have they looked for very similar types of player, whereas central defence, for example, maybe even the keeper situation, certainly at fullback areas after the January window, they were clearly deficient. So it kind of all comes back down to a rather haphazard recruitment policy from window to window. I don't think it's safe to assume, given what Stuart Webber has done at Huddersfield, that is going to be the case now moving forward. But it's almost like he's got to correct the imbalances already in this squad before he actually then maps out what he feels is where they need to go and bring resource in. But yeah, to answer your question, I think, to me, Pritchard isn't going to be short of interest, I don't think. I mean, we're talking a lot about Brighton. Well, he was en route to Brighton last summer, and Norwich managed to pull him around at the 11th hour. It wouldn't be beyond the realms to see a scenario where, flush with Premier League money, now Brighton might come and have another attempt to prize him out of Carr Road. And if it's not Brighton, I think there will be one or two clubs, because of his pedigree, because of what he did at Tottenham and at Brentford that full season in the Championship, there could be questions and scenarios to come in terms of Pritchard and where he is. Whereas, well, I think we've seen it this season. You know, if we were in any doubt, you do have to ration his influence now. He can't go game to game. That's quite clear now at his age. And again, Monday, Alan Irvine said, he'd told him before the two previous home games, look, you're going to play both home games. You're not involved at Preston. So I think that process is only naturally going to accelerate next season. You know, he'll be 35 in May, I believe. So the start of next season, you know, 10th year at the club, I think ultimately he will have to now be rationed. So, you know, if it was to be Pritchard as your main creative focal point, and then maybe Maddison in and around it. But yeah, it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one because James Maddison now is too good for development level. So if the scenarios don't change in terms of emergency loan windows, which were scrapped this season, then I don't think it's going to do him any good, and probably Norwich any good, if come the end of the summer transfer window he's still at Norwich, because I don't think he's going to be a frontline player with the greatest will in the world. So again, one for Stuart Webber. They have to manage these individual young players so carefully now, because it's not, you're only going to go backwards. If you're a young player and you're playing development football at Maddison's sort of time of career, and not so much Pritchard because he's way past that now, but the Murphys, Godfrey even now, you know, those lads need to be playing proper football, I think. So, yeah, that's another facet of what Stuart Webber needs to be good at this summer.
That's interesting that you don't think that James Maddison will be a front-line first-team player next season?
Not in terms of first 11 on the team sheet, no. Because purely if Pritchard's here now, would you have him as over Pritchard? I don't think you would at the minute. Just because, I mean, there's 3 years in age between them, but Pritchard has played a lot more games at this level, and less so, obviously, with Tottenham at the one above. But and ultimately Norwich will be trying to be a team who can push for top six. You know, if it was a different scenario and the expectations were we're building for something down the line, as in two or three seasons, then you would probably say Maddison is the way to go. But with the greatest will in the world, Norwich fans will not buy we're just going to bob along next season. They will want them to be pushing at the top end of the table. To do that, you need a bit more than potential, and I think Pritchard is way past that stage, you know.
I hadn't deliberately omitted Stephen Naismith, but I wanted to come into it. I mean, he made both goals. He's something of an enigma, because the guy is costing a lot of money. Yeah. You know, he's got another year at least on his deal. I can't remember how long he's got on it now, off the top of my head.
Might be two, mate.
Two, maybe. Yeah. So Norwich have to figure out, A, can they afford him? Probably not. But A, could they get him off the wage bill? Well, do you need someone to take him on? But, you know, he did okay and had a nice influence, that would probably be the way I'd put it, yeah, at Deepdale. But with someone like that, that is too little too late. Obviously, the expectation was so high. What do you do with a problem like Stephen Naismith?
That is a very difficult one, because ultimately there's a clutch of lads who are out of contract this summer, or, as in John Ruddy's case, options are falling due. Now, that the power there clearly resides with the football club, because they can either choose to dispense with those players or decide to keep them. But the power is firmly with the club. Now, with Naismith, because of his contract length, then the power is with the player, really. If Stephen Naismith is unwilling to move on, certainly for less than he's on here, then I'm afraid they're going to be lumbered with him, and lumbered, I don't think it's too strong a word, because for what he came in, the fanfare that accompanied his signing from Everton, I know he was purchased for a club who were trying to consolidate and then push on in the Premier League, and then they found themselves in the Championship, but I still think Stephen Naismith, with his pedigree, what he cost, both in terms of transfer fee and the financial package on a personal level, he's fallen well below market value, and not all down to the lad himself. I'm sure, you know, he's been a little bit frustrated maybe how he's been used, how little he's been used on occasion. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think you'd be hard-pressed to find an Norwich fan who say that signing has been a success. So I would think if they could do it, they would move him on. But there's a big if there, because, as I say, I don't think there's going to be too many takers with his current package.
For those wondering, this is the moment I took a selfie on the podcast that will be going up on the social media, and we'll take a break, shall we, and you can listen to Alan Irvine and Graham Dorans.
We knew what we were coming here, we knew what we were in for. Well, we started the game well, we managed to take a couple of goals up at half time, but we knew the strengths that they possessed, and I thought we dealt with that, especially the first half, and as you said, we dominated in that period. I mean, we spoke before the game about people questioning our away record, and obviously it hasn't been good enough, but we know what, as a group, we are good enough to correct that, and thankfully we've done that today, and we put in a performance that it was worthy for the fans to come watch it.
Overall, a really good performance. We had some more chances in the second half. We didn't play as well as we had done in the first half, but thankfully we got the third goal just before the end.
Well, I think what people have probably seen is that I like playing gifted, talented attacking players, and you know, try and get as many on the team sheet as you possibly can, without it being an unbalanced team, because you clearly have to have a defensive shape when you don't have the ball. But I thought that to a man, really, the players did really well today.
In terms of injuries, it's been my worst season of my career so far. I've never had to sit out this long, but it's part of football. This injuries are stuff that you can't do anything about, but like I said, I'm just delighted to get back in and get 90 minutes under my belt.
It's fair enough that you would want your future to continue at the club beyond this season, because a lot of people have been around saying, oh, right, well, we'll get back next season, and, you know, we'll kick on from there, but it clearly hasn't gone the way that people wanted it to.
Well, I've got 2 years left in my contract, so nobody's told me otherwise, so
that's what you want. I mean, have you enjoyed it? I mean, it's been like two bit years.
Well, I've not enjoyed this season because I've been injured, and we are where we are, but I've enjoyed being at this football club. Yeah, I've enjoyed living in Norwich. The people here are great. I mean, the coaches, and I really enjoy coming into work every day, so yeah, enjoy it.
And just finally, so the perception of the fans, and they'll be looking at people going, well, does he want to stay, do they want to stay, do we want them to stay, and that sort of stuff. You sitting in that group wants to be here and basically put the season right next year, is that
right? Yeah, of course, everyone wants to do well. Like I said, people in there have got contracts, so it's up to people that come in, and the new sporting director and the new manager is obviously going to come in over the summer, or whenever he comes in, they'll have decisions to make, and players that they want to keep, players that they want to go. So until they come and speak to them boys, then the lads in there will keep getting on with their job.
James is a talented young player. I've been saying that for a few weeks now. He is competing with Wes Houlihan and Alex Pritchard. He got the opportunity today, and he took his opportunity, and that's all he can do, and I'm absolutely delighted that he did. He was set back last week because he had an injury and he wasn't able to be selected, but yeah, I've spoken to him a few times. I've told him just to keep on doing what he's doing. His chance will come. One of the big things for James is making sure that it's not just the creative side of his game, but he has that other side of his game that he has to add. But when we don't have possession. He's taking that on board as well at the moment, and he also knows the quality of the players he's competing with. So really pleased for him. Really pleased that it went well for him when he came on, and it was good to get that opportunity.
We touched on Graham Dorans in our little post-match video as well, Pads. I like seeing him back, and I do think he brings an element of something that Norwich have missed. But is he the difference, and is he someone who's going to make a difference if he stays fit next season? I mean, yeah. He said himself it's been his worst season of his career with injuries.
Yeah, it's a difficult one now with Dorans. I mean, ultimately Premier League, when they went that season in the Premier League, he wasn't. You know, he wasn't by any way stretch or form in the first 11. I mean, it was literally really a bit like Alex Neil. It was those first 4 or 5 months when he went to the club, and he was initially here on loan, and then, you know, he played quite a big part, I felt, in that run to the playoff final. But we haven't seen that player too often. Again, a little bit like Naismith we were just discussing there. It's inconsistency, really. And you're right, he hasn't had a lot of luck with injuries, but the nature of his game, you know, what is he? He's a central midfield player who likes to control the tempo, has an excellent range of passing. But in a side going backwards, which Norwich frequently have been away from Carr Road, I don't think he adds a lot to the game. He's a player you want in the side when you're on the front foot and you're actually dominating possession and territory, which they did to all intents and purposes against Preston. So, again, is he one you would say would be in your 11? Not for me. So, therefore, is he one you would think you could have in and around it, almost to thicken out a squad? And I think there might be better options out there, to be fair. I mean, I look at a lot of what we look at through Weber is the Huddersfield template, the Huddersfield players, because that's ultimately what he has effectively spent the last 15 months or so putting together. And I look at Huddersfield and they do have a ball player in the middle of the park, the lad Billings, when Norwich went there recently. You know, very tall, angular, not the most mobile, but an excellent passer of the ball. But around him, they had quite a lot of legs, a lot of energy. And I think it'd be a very similar scenario. If you want Graham Dorans in your 11 at Norwich, you need to put the best players around him to maybe cover up for the things that he doesn't have in his game, and then allow him to bring what he does have, which is, as I say, you know, an excellent range of passing. But no, if I was looking at it, I personally would like to see Norwich go a bit more the dynamism route, and I don't think him or Naismith fit into that category.
Which is exactly the point with Stuart Weber. I suppose we're going to wait and see, because the rebuild is there anyway. If you're then looking to change the entire way that Norwich play their football, which again you assume is going to happen because you assume that's how Stuart Weber will want to do things, that just adds it a whole nother notch to what the turnaround and changes will need to be. The game. And you assume that Stuart Weber will want to recreate that. It's not like, because managers will say horses for courses, I'll do what I can work with. This seems like a bigger job, and Stuart Weber's not going to be doing that. He's going to be changing it to what he thinks will work. So there's a lot of things riding on that. You mentioned Josh as well earlier, and I think it was nice to see him get a bit more game time and actually shine. That was probably his best performance of the season. I think I wasn't at Everton in the cup, so I missed that. I don't know how that maybe ranked. He obviously scored a pearler of a goal in that game, but I thought Josh was very good. Clearly, end product maybe lacked at times, but more than that, he seemed on it for the entirety of the game. And given Jacob has looked so sort of mentally tired, I suppose, maybe more than physically tired in recent weeks, it was really good to see him step up like that.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think back to games like Cardiff and that, where he came on and had an influence. But yeah, from start to finish, I think you would be hard pressed to find a game this season, certainly in the Championship, where he has had such a lingering influence. And you see again, you know, if Norwich are in the ascendant, then a Josh Murphy in your side, he will make things happen. You know, his pace, he's direct with the ball going forward. You know, you can see why he's such an exciting talent. But, you know, Alex Neil and probably to a lesser extent Alan Irvine have both said this season that, and again, Alan Irvine referenced it with Maddison yesterday after the game, that these guys need to also understand that it's not just what you do with the ball, it's what you do without the ball. When Norwich don't have the, you know, the upper hand, as it were, when they're on the back foot, it's about discipline and shape and work without the ball. And and contrast those two with Jacob. They felt as a coaching unit that Jacob, the penny did drop, and that he could almost be relied on then, hence why he's had so many games. And that's probably to his detriment now at this advanced stage of the season, because he has looked very weary on occasion. But certainly Josh Murphy moving forward, when you speak to him, you get the sense that he is one who knows that he's not the finished article, and he needs to work at his game. And I think he's got a good head on his shoulders there, from what I can gather. So I would just hope that he goes away this summer, and a little bit like his brother, 12 months hence, with Nathan Redmond being sold, there was a vacancy on the right-hand side of that midfield. Jacob's obviously come back and thought, I'm having it, and I don't care who, I've got to fight for it, whether it's my brother or whoever. And he did, to be fair. He started off like a train, didn't he? Blackburn opening day, yeah. Brilliant goal, 4-1. I've arrived, this is me, I'm here to stay. I'd like to see Josh come back with that same mindset, because I just think on that left-hand side, again, subject to how Weber sees it and how a new head coach wants to set a team up, I think there is a vacancy. I don't think Yannick Wiltshire has exactly put down a marker.
that's not safe. What he put down, no.
That's safe to assume. And, you know, Dykes, will he be here, will he won't be here? Well, you know, I think there could be vacancies on that left-hand side of Norwich's team. And if you're Josh Murphy, you would want to think, I'm as good as anything in this club, and I aim to prove it. And what a sight that would be to have both Murphys on the flanks next season.
Spot on. With a nice 4-3-3. That's what I'd like to see. Been wanting to see that for ages. Back to the Youth Cup days, eh? Yeah. Success. Harry Toffolo back and everything. It'll be wonderful. Alan Irvine obviously talking about, you know, young players needing to learn the defensive side of the game. I remember former Norwich manager talking.
Old players could learn.
Well, there is that. I remember a former manager saying that a lot, probably about the Murphys. What was it? Chris? Oh yeah, Chris Hughton. That was the guy. Yeah. We should touch on Brighton. As I've kind of said, fantastic for him. Great guy. Was kept in the job too long at Norwich for me, and you know it. What happened, but. And we'll see what he does in the Premier League with Brighton, because I think we may see some similar things to what happened at Carrow Road. But for bouncing back, his first job since it all went wrong at Norwich, building that side up at Brighton over 2 years with decent resources, but not unlimited. A word for Chris?
Yeah, fantastic, because he is such a lovely individual. You know, he's so well respected inside the game. He's an honourable guy as well, you know. You're not going to see him in any Mourinho-type touchline rants, I think it's safe to say.
imagine it. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
No, I think I don't think he'll be making too many headlines next season, but which was probably to his detriment, I suppose. As you say, rightly, probably it was an end of an era feel for too long. And I think it was the defensive-minded caution that kind of ground down a lot of the fans by the end, that Norwich were lucky to be at the top table and they knew their place and every week was a test. That became a bit wearisome, I think, and he might find the same struggles with Brighton, because it is such a big step up, but you certainly, that's for the future really, but the here and now, to do what he's done, given that they missed out on automatic this time last season, actually the final day, them and Middlesbrough, straight shootout. I think they even played each other, I'm not mistaken, at the Riverside. Middlesbrough edged them out, so you've basically missed out on automatic, the whole season's work in an afternoon, then understandably couldn't raise it again in the playoffs. To come back this season and what conceivably looks like a title win, which will be confirmed if they do win at Carrow Road on Friday, given the resource that Villa, Newcastle, to a lesser extent Norwich, Sheffield Wednesday have thrown a huge amount of money at it, yeah, you've got to take your hat off to him. And I just hope he does get a nice reception. And I think that the vast majority of Norwich fans, while knowing that at the end it went a bit sour, I think they would respect him as a man and the job he's done at Brighton, and good luck to him.
Yeah, spot on. And it's interesting because a lot of Norwich fans will be thinking, well, if we'd have kept hold of Chris Hughton, he'd have taken us back up, had they have sort of seen through relegation, which I think was probably inevitable by the time Chris had gone. It doesn't quite work like that, though, does it? And the atmosphere at Carrow Road, I don't think, would have ever have allowed that. What's more, he's gone into Brighton. I mean, they were struggling. They were in serious danger of relegation when he went in. So he's really taken them on an absolute treat. So the level of expectation there when he arrived, and there were some grumbles, wasn't there, when Chris Hughton first went in at Brighton. From that, he's risen with the expectations with them, whereas we came into Norwich, obviously, life, energetic, free-flowing football after, you know, a meteoric rise under Paul Lambert. It's probably hiding to nothing to an extent anyway, but I don't know if we should spend much more time speaking about Brighton, because it kind of underlines the dire season Norwich fan. One thing surely those Norwich players will be doing is sitting down thinking, we got absolutely hammered there, we need to make a point here.
Well, you'd like to think so, yeah. Certainly Russell Martin won't want to roll over against his hometown. Yeah, that was, you'd say that was a dark day, but there's been plenty more since, sadly, this season, certainly away from home. So, yeah, I think that might be at the back of their minds. But ultimately, it is really about now, can Alan Irving get the mix right, you know, blood a few more of them young players, and just go out and give it, you know, give it a good go and show what they, you know, that they are good players, that, you know, they are better than where they are going to finish, sadly. But, you know, there's reasons why that is the case. But, yeah, I'm not sure. Well, I would have said if it was literally, you know, they were spent 3 days partying, then you'd fancy Norwich's chances. But I think the fact that there's a carrot there now that they can win the title, you would imagine their professional pride would want them to come here and be still at it. So that could be a good game of football that Friday night.
Could be indeed. I imagine Alex Pritchard will start, so it'll be interesting to see how he does, how much of a point he wants to make. Maybe we'll get to see James Maddison too. All right, then, let's wrap it up. We can't just sit in Coventry all day, as much as you'd like to, Pads. I'm afraid we need to get back. Thank you very much for your time, Pad. Thanks everyone out there for listening. Don't forget, you can follow all our video, text, analysis, all the content you could ever wish for, pinken.com. will all be there, and you can subscribe to the podcast there too. But in the meantime, have a good week. Hope you had a good Easter, and we'll see you on the other side of the Brighton game. Until then, goodbye.